Gillon McLaughlin's online. He's the CEO of the AFL, and Kim Hagdorn, our footy analyst, is anxious to talk to him. Good morning, Gillon. How are you this morning?
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
G'day, Gillon. Thanks for some time. Well, just quickly, we're sort of lauding the new attacking style. However, Fremantle have kicked 100 points last night and lost on the back of being beaten by a much quicker moving team last week. Who's responsible for this, the 10-metre exclusion zone and the 90 rotation cap? Who's going to take the plaudits for it?
Listen, I think quite a few people need to, including the coaches. Part of sort of building a relationship with them that in their quieter times, they said when they're not winning and losing, we had a good chat with them about what would make a difference to open the game up. They're very strong about the tackling, you know, paying more, holding the ball, and they're to a man almost universal that if we protected the man on the mark rule and open it up, that would make a huge difference. And I think they've been vindicated. And Mark Evans, I think, has done a great job, and he really ultimately is the guy making the decisions.
Is there any areas of concerns with it? The out of bounds, deliberate out of bounds, or there's a few of us a bit shaky that could decide a really big game somewhere later in the season.
Last week.
Yeah, I can see that, but what I would say, and it's great to Wayne Campbell, it is a huge change in attitude and huge shift, and I think the umpires have done a great job broadly getting it really right over the first couple of weeks. There's the odd one that might, you know, you can see that the one's going to get to contention, so I agree with you, but I think it's had a big difference as well, and I think having the courage to make that decision, and that's a decision of Mark, has contributed to the open attacking footy we're seeing. As you say, last night, Freo scored, they scored 100 points
and lost.
And lost by, four goals or something?
Yeah.
Port scored 80 points yesterday and lost by, had 30 scoring shots and lost by 10 goals. The average scoring margin is 3 goals higher than the average winning margin last year. So it's early signs, but it looks promising.
Do you think it'll hold?
Inevitably, you get periods of tension in the middle of the year and it's wet and cold. I mean, whether it stays exactly the same, but I think there is a trend that I feel will hold. Whether the levels stay the same, I'm not so sure.
Can we hit a couple of the big issues and the biggest
and sorry,
one?
Just to finish I reckon what you look, if you look at the Bulldogs last night, you look at the way Gold Coast are going, and West Coast, I have to say, it feels like even if you wanted to be dour, their attack and the way they take the game on, you can't beat it with defence.
You won't get away with it.
No, you won't. And I think that's the change and the tipping point and a huge difference from this year to last year.
Let's hit a couple of the really big issues that just create such discussion, and it's broader than just the footy. When will we have a zero tolerance on the illicit drugs in our AFL system with the players?
Probably when someone else is chief executive. So, if you're forecasting something, let me know.
No, you give me the tip and I'll try and break the story.
First thing I say is, and I'd like to make a few points on this, this is a voluntary policy that has a balance between health and welfare and educating our players. And on the other side, there's a responsibility to the game and to their clubs. It is separate from the WADA policy. So the WADA policy says if you get caught with illicit drugs in your system on match day, you're out for 4 years.
Yep.
So let's be really clear about that. Now, this is a voluntary policy where the players said, I'll be tested all year round, including my 6 to 8 weeks of leave. Then the policy has been created with the consultation of all of the experts, the police, the clubs, and others to come up with a model that tries to balance giving young men a chance to make a mistake and to learn, and because they're as vulnerable as everyone else in society. But on the second strike, you're accountable. So it is a balance that is informed. It provides a view of welfare and education for young men, but also then holds them to account at a second mistake. And we feel comfortable where it is, and all we ask is some level of time to let's see if it actually just starts changing behaviours. Because the model where we've got tougher and gone from 3 strikes to 2 has only just been inked.
Gillon, much of what the AFL does mirrors what's occurred in the NFL in the United States. One wonders what their policy is regarding out-of-competition testing.
Yeah, well, they don't, as I understand it, hair test in the off-season like we do with our players. So that's why, I mean, I'm sort of would say that our illicit drugs policy is stronger and tougher than anyone in the world. It was interesting. I got asked by Neil Mitchell Friday on the radio, say, well, you know, what would you say to the parents when he was talking about zero tolerance? I said, well, you show me a parent who'd want their 18-year-old son coming to the system, still learning about life, to be outed, named and shamed after making a single mistake. And I'm not sure many parents would be putting their hands up for that.
Good call. Should AFL club staff be tested like the players?
Well, the AFL head office is. My management team is tested. And
have you been tested?
Yeah, I have. And so, I clearly view if we're going to be putting that working partnership with the players on a policy, we have to be held to the same standard. So, broader than that, it's up for discussion. But this is a policy that's in partnership with the players, and it's a player policy. I think I need to be subject to the same way. Broader than that, we'll have chats.
Is your finding held confidential?
You sound a bit off. That's all. We don't want to jump to conclusions. You just might have had a late night.
It's the first one's confidential anyway.
Gillon, like everyone else who's interested in footy, I read the screaming headline about 11 Collingwood players testing positive, but then when we drilled down into it, and we heard various opinions coming forward, and I read about the agreement that had been reached between the AFL and other stakeholders, including the Players Association, about out-of-competition testing. I thought Collingwood was very, very fairly unfairly dealt with in that story. I thought it hung a label on the Collingwood Football Club and their playing group that was manifestly unfair.
No, I agree with you on that, because what I've said is that clearly some players over the summer period in their holidays took illicit drugs. But the number with Collingwood, I haven't seen one number that's actually been accurate. Now, did Mark Robinson, who broke the story with sort of investigative journalism and bluffing people, get close to it? Probably. But is the number exactly right? No. So confidences haven't been breached. It doesn't mean that Collingwood's number is any different or greater or could be smaller. It might be bigger, but it's a theoretical number, and it's without context to the rest of the competition, and I think it's pretty unfair like that.
That's the point I'm making, that if you're going to name Collingwood and plaster their names in a headline and with the attendant shame that goes with it, then surely you don't... You in doing that, you find out the numbers from the other clubs. Otherwise,
but you're talking about how we cover things now.
Leave Collingwood alone.
Yeah, I agree. I think that we don't skirt away from our young men face the same challenges as the rest of society, and that some test positive. But what the actual number is and how Collingwood fits in that piece of a new policy, I think to have them isolated was very unfair.
Apart from your industry-wide attempt to curb illicit drug use with the players and an education program, is restricting young players from getting too heavily involved in gambling another priority, Gillon?
It's certainly something we're talking to the players about. It's come up with... We have a lunch every year at the start of the season with the captains.
Yep.
They've raised it as an issue. They labelled it last year. Interestingly, their view was that it seems to be better than it was this time last year. But, these are young men with time on their hands during the week. Sports wagering is growing, as we know that, and they're earning, significant discretionary income. So they are highly vulnerable in a relative sense, and so we'll continue to work with them.
Yeah, on behalf of the many listeners that knew you were coming on and have sent me through questions, one stands out, Gillon.
Yep.
Why do footy followers in Western Australia pay so much more to go to the footy in comparison to their Victorian counterparts?
Well, there is a huge demand in Western Australia to go to the games. The capacity of the main stadium is smaller than the demand, and that pricing pressure forces it up. It doesn't mean that it's perfect, and it means that as a general rule, the pricing is higher. But that's the sort of underlying view. They've had very successful clubs where a lot of people want to go, and that puts pressure on price.
So what you're really saying is they can charge it, they get away with it, so they'll keep doing it.
Well, in the end, is that they are they're running their clubs. They invest in winning premierships, and you know, the underlying reason it is described.
Gillon Stadium, we're racing towards it. We're all hoping that you can come up with a good deal with Stadiums Australia so that our two teams here can play with a clean stadium every time to keep funding WA footy. Have you guys committed to how much you'll tip into? Will you the AFL commit financially to the stadium?
Yeah, we will. We've committed to pretty much every piece of significant infrastructure that's been built in Australia. So that's, I think, a separate discussion to the terms of access for the clubs, and we'll obviously have to get that right. We've been talking to Stadium Australia and the government. We've been talking to the government for some time.
Yeah,
but it's hugely important. West Coast and Fremantle are in the four most powerful financial clubs in the league. They've been very successful for long periods of time, and making sure that they continue to be in that same place to go forward is, you know, obviously it depends on the deal, and we need to get it right.
How are the numbers this year?
AFL numbers?
Yeah,
great. The opening round was 360,000 people, seventh highest in history. Huge crowds over the last six games of this weekend. There was a chance we might have the second highest attended, or the highest ever second round in history. I'm not sure. We'll see how we go today. So the numbers are great. The ratings were very good over the first week. So and the footy's been good. So in terms of the elite comp, we've started pretty strongly.
You'd have to be enormously pleased with the crowd that the Essendon Melbourne game drew, and
by the result.
And the result was good too.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it just most stirring scenes for those Essendon supporters who for 3 or 4 years had a terrible time, and you know, they're a 140 odd year club, and you saw the power, the pride, and you saw what ultimately a football club is, which is the people, and they spoke yesterday, over 50,000, and turned it on and had an extraordinary against expectation win. It was fabulous.
Gillon, we know you've got to go. Thanks for your time shortly. Just one on the Essendon one. How can Essendon and Heath Hocking continue a dialogue to the extent where he can negotiate and then announce a new contract while he's a banned player?
Well, I mean, he has to. I mean, he is facing a 12-month ban, but he's not banned for the rest of his life, and people have to move on in all walks of life, move on from things, and he's looking forward. Part of, you know, this has been an incredibly challenging period for those 34 players, and you know, they have to look ahead for their own mental welfare and to look ahead with their careers. They have careers, and they have to look ahead, and I actually think it's entirely appropriate to do that.
Thanks for your time, Gillon. Well, there's a million other questions we'd like to talk to you about, but I'm sure we'll get other opportunities as the season unfolds. Thanks very much. Who wins today? The boys from the West or your boys from over there, Hawthorn?
Well, they're all my boys.
Grandfather.
I think West Coast are the real deal, and I reckon they'll be close to the very back end of September again this year. So I think West Coast today.
I think you're right. Gillon, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
See you, Gillon. What do you think?
Yeah. He's good at what
so
he does.
So many. Oh, I think he does
100 of these a week.
Well, and a day. I mean, a day like today, he'll go from media box to media box. But there's just so many other issues. I wonder if there are some that we didn't hit that, you know, our people out there.
If we had him here for an hour.
Oh, there'd be even more. But if we had him here for an hour, he'd be clever enough to skirt some of the major issues.
I'd turn the talkback callers loose on him. It's different with two pussycats like you and me. But wait till our talkback callers get at him.
I think West Coast can win today too.